Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Khadija's Cafe. I am your host, Khadija Stewart. Family, love. So many people use your name in vain. Just saying, a quote from Music Soul Child song. Tonight, family, we are getting into my love journey. I'm a little nervous because, you know, I'm on the radio with you guys. It's April 18th, 2024, and I usually talk about business and education, and I keep it really professional, right? I stay in that lane, but tonight I'm going to open up the door a little bit. I'm going to share a little bit about my love journey. I'm going to get very personal. I'm going to try to keep it as, what can we say, as general as personal as possible, right? Because I want to make sure I protect those who I love the most. So let's get into it, family. Tonight I'm sharing a little of my love journey from the age of 13 until now. I want to share this journey for three reasons. One, there's so much pain in our world today that I really think we need to focus on aspects of each of our lives that we can impact each other positively with, right? By helping each other, supporting each other, and also nurturing ourselves, right? And one aspect of doing that is through love. So I want to talk about how I took a deeper dive into that concept, that word, that feeling, that experience of love. Then the second reason why I want to do this is because I need the communities of parents that I serve in both my nonprofit and my for-profit work to accept and trust the understanding of love. I don't know if you guys know, but I've jumped into the parent consulting world. I've always been doing it, but I'm officially doing it now. I'm on my for-profit side as well as the nonprofit side. And in doing that, I'm having relationships with, I'm building, oh gosh, such awesome experiences with parents that sometimes feel like they have to justify love. So I said, let me dig a little deeper and share a little bit more of my experiences through love. And then lastly, I just get excited about the topic, right? Love is something that I wasn't always comfortable in saying, let alone talking about, right? The four-letter word was just something really not I was comfortable with. So family, tonight, we are in, what, January, February, March, April. We are ending the first quarter. And get your cup of tea, your sparkling water, whatever you have in your cup, and let's get to it. We're going to talk about love tonight. In my glass, I made a hibiscus sorbet with just a hint of ginger, right? So I figured I needed something to spice it up talking about love tonight. Family, if I ask you to call in tonight at the end, please do. Right now, I just want to get through this a little bit, but, you know, if you feel the urge to call in, as I think I may have a few of my family members out there doing tonight, please feel comfortable in doing so, right? Call in and push one if you want to do more than listen and talk with me. But I want to jump right in. And one good thing that I found in my actual, I guess you say, credentialed research online and books is Pew Research Survey saying that basically love is still the number one reason why people get married. So that to me is good news. That means we're going in a positive direction with the concept of love. We still feel that love has a major impact in our lives. And I want to just really touch briefly on this. Some of you all may know that I'm born and raised Philadelphia, and I don't live in Philadelphia. I live in Maryland now. But we had an incident. I'm also Muslim. So there was an incident in Philadelphia for our Eid celebration. And I think this is another thing that sparked my reason for needing to do a show on love. Because I think our youth are forgetting. You know, they're missing, I think, the innocence, the joy, the pleasures of enjoying this concept of love that we're going to get in tonight. My love journey started at the age of 13, guys. I'm going to get personal here. After experiencing some abuse, remembering, you know, starting at the age of 11, quite honestly. And it didn't begin, my love journey didn't begin because of the pain through the abuse that I had, but it began because I knew that that pain could not be all there was. And because that pain was so impactful, I knew that there had to be an exact opposite of this thing, right? This thing that gave me so much pain, I knew there had to be something that had a complete opposite to it because it was so painful. And I said, maybe it's love. And I consciously began my journey of understanding what this word love meant. And I began noting and paying close attention to feelings and experiences, expressions, people and situations. You know, I looked at mother and son relationships. I have my degree in communication. So one thing that I love to do is I have this love affair with nonverbal communications. I love to watch people and not necessarily make judgments about them, but try to understand what they're going through, what their communication process is, just by watching their nonverbals. And I would do this with mother and sons. I would do this with just strangers that I would see at restaurants if I was out in the movies or in malls. And I would try not to, you know, seem too creepy and scary. But the dynamics and the things that you can learn from watching love nonverbal communication is so awesome. One dynamic that I loved, and maybe this was because, you know, my dad wasn't there for me growing up as a little girl, but I would watch daddy and daughter relationships and that love trance, the way they would talk to each other, the way they would look at each other. And it just really, the innocence of it, right, that comfort zone that daddies would create for daughters. And that's where I kind of got sparked in this concept of, let me understand what love is. So I'm sharing, guys. I'm sharing my research. I'm sharing my lessons tonight, family. And it's getting a little personal, as you can hear. But I found that love has many aspects. But in my love journey, I hold three spaces of clarity. And these are three types of love for me. One is love of service. And I want to talk specifically what that is about. Another is love of family and friends. Woo-wee. that has its own box in my world. And then the one-on-one intimate love. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. Guys, I made an intentional goal this year as I was ending 2023. And it wasn't at New Year. It was before that. But I always make intentional goals around September for the next year. And it was to be intentional about what I did and the relationships that I built in both my personal and my business life. And those out there listening that I'm building business with this year, we have had some very impactful and intentional meetings. So understand, family, that these relationships that I'm getting ready to explain to you and talk to you about are near and dear to me. They're intimate. They're sacred. And they're not relationships that I take lightly. So these were relationships and things that were part of my life's love, my work of love, and that love of service. I held a space in my life for all of these types of love that I was telling you about, and now I'm reflecting on that data, and I'm sharing that data. I'll just give a little secret. Yes, I'm writing a book, if you can't tell. But this is a piece of it. This is only a really small piece of that book. But in that book, there's data about different experiences that I have. And part of it is the love experience. So usually I talk about that business stuff, but tonight I'm gathering all of those love experiences and all of that data that I have, and I'm going to have this conversation. And my intention is to give entrepreneurs, parents, and professionals some things to ponder on, right, as they're trying to build that work-life balance. We can't be all work. We can't be all personal. There has to be a balance, and you can actually do it. I know there's some theories out there now that work-life balance is just this overall concept that's just not tangible. I disagree. I disagree because I have a very complicated life, but because I have a balance in it, I find joy. I am actually, I would say, very, very happy with where I am in life. So it can be done. It can be defined by anybody. But the real definition of love, the real definition of work-life balance, it starts with you, the sincere you. No one can define it for you. So we're talking about my work-life balance tonight, right? And it begins at my love of service. I define love of service as an act of caring for or helping others without expecting anything in return. Oh, this was a concept that was hard for me to be okay with doing because I've done it my entire life. The roles that I've had to play in my life have put me in circles with people that it forced me to start to have this love of service. And it strengthened my relationships in my communities. It really did. And I want you to think about when I say love of service. Let me give you some examples of what I mean by that. Everyone, we know that older person in a neighborhood or the place of worship or community or different organizations or social clubs, they always have a snack, a treat, or they have something that they're always giving away, right? I know in one of my organizations, in the Queen Sister Society, we have a queen. I'm going to call her out tonight. Yes, I'm calling you out, Tisha. Every time I see her, she has a gift that she's giving away. You know, that's love of service. And, yes, she is a retired veteran. Thank you for your service. I always tell her that. I'm from the Air Force, so maybe that's where it was instilled. But I just think it's part of her character, right? Just love of service. That uncle or auntie, you know, they always stuff in $5 back in the day. I don't know how much they stuff now. In your hands, and they just say, don't say nothing. Or tell you, just put it in your hand and close your hand and walk away, right? That's a love of service. Or a neighbor who takes out the trash or mows your lawn. I'm overwhelmed. I was telling a friend of mine today that, I love my neighborhood because I have a neighbor. He mowed 4 of our lawns. I looked outside and I'm like, wow. You know, that's just a love of service. It's these people who volunteer at local shelters. They help people move. You know, that friend that we all know that you can call on to help you move. Or being able to go to a person in the family who you know is always there to help family members who are struggling. This is a love of service. These are people who they give because they enjoy giving. Because the familiar feeling of making someone else happy, it really is addicting and empowering. When my scholars and I, we gave out snack bags last year in some of the worst parts of Baltimore City, the kids actually asked if we could do it again. Right? They ask, when are we going to do this again? When are we going to do this again? And part of it was because there is this addiction when you're serving. This love that's built when you serve. And this is something that I had to become comfortable in doing because people would always ask me, why are you giving stuff away, right? I find myself just becoming that person, right? I served in communities of children and women through teaching, coaching, advising, and training for no money. The same thing that I get paid to do, I give it away. And all that I really look for is gratitude and success. That's what I used to look for, right? Because I could be doing it just to talk about it over and over again. I'm not going to talk about what I do when I give away because it's my charity, right? That's my relationship with my service and my love of service. But the actual work done in that love of service is overwhelming. The feeling of joy and meaningfulness. And I urge anyone who is not having some type of service that they're doing on a regular basis in their life, jump on it because you're missing out. That is really part of why I'm happy with where I am in life right now because I have consistent service that I'm doing and I love what I do. This type of love, though, I also learned that you have to manage and protect it. Service is truly done out of love, and the gratification of success is not needed. It's really not. And that's why I laughed earlier when I said the only thing I look for is gratitude and success in my love of service, but that's my love journey. I learned to not need that because what happens is you become vulnerable when you're looking for some type of reciprocation for your service. It's just not a part of the real sincere part. If, in fact, you have a love of service, right? And the relationship in this love relationship that I have of love of service, I learned to just remove the expectation. And this way I can protect my love in that situation, right? If this sounds familiar, if you're that kind of person that I'm talking about, or if you're not and it sounds like it's something that you want to start to feel, I urge you to ask yourself these 3 questions. Have you ever experienced the joy of helping someone without expecting anything in return? How do you think acts of service contribute to building strong bonds with other people? And lastly, can you recall a time when someone's act of service deeply impacted you or someone you know? Think about those three questions and ponder on them when you consider, do I really want to have a love of service? I do, and I'm in love with my love of service. That's my first category of love. My second type of love, it grew me up. Family, it taught me lessons that I'm just learning and still learning. It's the love of family and friends. The definition for that, love of family and friends is a deep affection and bond sharing among relatives and close companions. This was a sore spot for me, and I'm breathing heavy right now because it's still a sore spot in some aspects of my life, when I realized that the bond that I shared with my family and friends is going to be different from other people's, right? I can't really reflect on other people's bonds with their family or with their friends and set a standard. And it took a long time for me to be okay with understanding that. You know, there's no normal or correct way or type of relationship that you can have with a family or friend. And family, I want to preface this by saying, no, I do not have a degree in mental health, psychology, or any of those fields. Yes, I have training. I'm a parent consultant, right? I'm a special needs advocate. I'm a business consultant. And these lessons were learned inside of those realms and outside of those realms, right? This is over 40 years of experience that I'm talking about. I'm not going to give you guys my age. But it's been some years of developing this data and watching people, talking to people, working with people, having my own experiences that I realized that my family bond's not going to mimic your family bond. Your family bond may not even mimic another family member, and it's okay. It really is. Either we are family or we choose our friends, right? It's either that genetic bond that you have no say-so in the connection whatsoever, or it's someone that you chose at some part in your life to be in your life. And that part of my love journey involved a lot of pain. It involved a lot of joy, a lot of sadness, and exhilaration, and so many more adverbs, because this part is something that you don't control, but you can choose. You don't control when it comes to family, but you can choose when it comes to friends. But it also gave me my best experiences in my love lessons. These love relationships are usually, they're connections of familiarity, right? You have something familiar with other people in. And these relationships can be very fulfilling, and some can be unhealthy. Even your family relationships can be unhealthy. And you have to recognize this, family. You have to recognize that people don't get a pass just because they're related to you by blood. People don't get a pass just because at some point in time in your life, you wanted to be familiar with them, but now maybe you don't, right? But these type of people are not toxic if they feed that healthy part of you, right? If some part of your relationship feeds that healthy part of you, then it's an okay relationship. But you have to accept toxic behavior through talk, feeling, and overwhelming negativity. That's unhealthy, right? But when it has joyful feelings of love in it, then it's okay. But you have to check these relationships. And family, it took me a long time to check them. It really did. And how did it check? Is through communication of the shared frame of reference. If I share an experience, if I share an understanding, if I share a definition with a family member of mine or a friend of mine, then I can communicate with them. I should be able to find some avenue of communication where I can check and make sure if what's going on is toxic or it's just a misunderstanding. And that's a part of my love journey that I learned. And when I use that, it keeps me safe, but it also allows me to build relationships and build deeper relationships with people that are in my family, that are in my familia, that are my friends. And it's important that familial and friendship bonds provide that support and companionship and emotional stability. for a long time, I thought that it was bad for me to rely on family and friends for emotional stability. And the love journey has taught me that it's okay. It really is okay. And it's where I'm supposed to go for that emotional stability. Now, don't get me wrong, family. You have to have your own emotional stability within yourself and your person, right? But there are times, experiences, traumas, life that happens that throws you off kilter. It puts you into a situation where you need some assistance with that. And your family and your friends really should be that. Now, sometimes you need something more, right? You may need professional help. Please seek it out. But understand, don't feel guilty for expecting that your family and friends are going to be there for you. Without these types of bonds and connections and love relationships, then we're missing a whole lot in those family and friend relationships. And I learned and understood through my experiences that within my family relationships, I needed to find solutions for my children to feel that it was okay to rely on family. Right, I did a post with my daughter and my family, and I, we go back and forth all the time. And I speak about my family. I really mean my children. I have siblings, and that relationship is what it is. But my family relationship right now is centered around my children, because my children are age ranges from 12 to 24, and it's eight of them. But I didn't want them to go through some of the same struggles that I went through my love journey in accepting where it was okay to have emotional weaknesses. And family, I think, is where you should be able to have that. So I intentionally built traditions and repetitive experiences for my children that encouraged and empowered them to build these type of relationships among each other and with themselves. And it's funny, I watch them now. They plan things. I don't have to plan engagements and traditions that have been set. You know, they call each other. We have a group family text that we do. And, you know, they'll say, okay, so what are we doing for such and such? You know, and there were times when I knew that I had to be the one to lead that charge, and I don't have to do that anymore. As they embark on puberty and adulthood, I see the dynamic shifting within my children. And it's strengthening their relationship. It's strengthening their family bond. It's strengthening their love. I actually see this success. And as a mom, I'm going to be honest, it makes me feel really, really honored. You know, on my family and friend love journey, I also had moments, what I call interactive pain. And I really pondered on not going here tonight. But this type of interactive pain, it involved using love to benefit a position in a conversation or experience, right? One person is trying to get a leg up. And I learned, once again, to protect that love experience. I learned to limit my interactions with love relationships and family and friends like that. Family, I can't break those ties. Friends, I can. So I limit those interactions. They weren't nurturing me. Even if they were relationships that I couldn't break, I just limit the interaction. I began to trust my feelings and understand that the importance of that frame of reference and communication, the trust and the understanding and maintaining healthy relationships, I had to maintain that. And if it could not be maintained through commonalities, then I had to let it go. I realized the need to celebrate togetherness with family and friends. And I really do mean celebrate. I'm really weird and corny that way. I get excited. I jump up and down. I laugh. You know, I send those dance emojis. I do it even on my social media posts, you know, because I get excited about things. And I want to celebrate the togetherness of my love relationships. And I learned that in healthy love relationships, it was okay to take joy in highlighting, right, the spending the time with the loved ones. It's okay. We can talk about it, right? We can plan it. So in your own family and friend love journey, family, I urge you to ask yourself these questions. There's three again. How do you prioritize spending time with your family and friends in your busy schedule? Like, do you really prioritize it, or is it just something you say, oh, we got to do it this year, right? And it should be something consistent. It shouldn't be just once a year or once every 4 months. And then what qualities do you value most in your closest relationships? If you're not picking out the things that you value, how do you know how to pour into and feed it? And can you recall a memorable moment spent with your family or friends that you cherish dearly? I have them all the time. I call them my daydream moments, right? I reflect back on. I tell my kids all the time, you know, memories can't be taken away. Pictures can be stolen, lost, left behind. Materialistic gains and gifts can be lost, stolen, and left behind. But memories, they're there, and they're in there. And pull on them, family. Pull on them with your family and friends. Build love relationships. Okay, family, I'm coming to this last leg of the learn love journey that I'm sharing with you guys. And that's that one-on-one intimate love. Okay, I'm going to pace myself in talking about this because this is really, this is a side of me I don't share publicly. But those who know me this way, they understand that this is really a very personal side to me. And I define it as one-on-one intimate love is the deep emotional and physical connection shared between romantic partners. Now, everybody has their own definition for that, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm just going to give you what my definition is. Key factors in this love relationship are communication and trust. And family, it's funny. I learned this part of my love journey, I want to say at 21. I learned it really early on because I learned that if we can't talk back and forth and we can't solve problems through communicating, and if I don't trust you, if I have to think or look over my shoulder or doubt, then even if you haven't done anything wrong, there's something about the energy in our intimate relationship that's not healthy for you or I, right? So that's something I learned and I built on, honesty and trust in romantic relationships. As a young girl, of course, you know, I had this pie-in-the-sky dream of love that every little girl has. But, you know, did my abuses melt and slam the pie? You know, did it do that? Yes, they did. And this is where I actively began to take note of my journey, right? Because it did destroy the ability for me to have this pie-in-the-sky dream, but it didn't destroy the ability for me to make more pie. Part of my love journey I'm grateful for. And what it did was it made me long for the right type of pie, right? The more intricate type of love. That's what this lesson became. It became that deep lesson of learning and searching within myself, within my spirituality, and within love language. You know, people are all talking about what is your love language. I can't answer that question. And it's interesting because I think that's a question that my intimate partner has to answer for me. I can answer it for me, but I can't answer it for them because they have to communicate to me what I'm communicating to them. One day after becoming a mother, in an unhappy marriage, I realized that I finally understand love. Not because I was experiencing it, not because I wanted it, but because I had observed it. I researched aspects of why people do things for love. I studied nonverbal communication of love and strangers' interactions. Oh, my gosh, I used to love watching people. It would put smiles on my faces. And sometimes couples would walk past me, and I'm smiling at them. They're like, I know they were thinking to themselves, what is wrong with her? But they had no clue that they were giving me their love languages, that they were talking back and forth to each other. I used to have a ball doing that. I still do it sometimes. And family and friend interactions, right? I studied it. I studied how family and friends talked to each other and dealt with each other and communicated with each other. And I grew a respect for sincere and true love, not that kissy face stuff, right? Not, you know, that love when two people enter the room and they smile at each other. I used to watch that. That love when you catch one of them, like, decided touching each other's hand or a shoulder and the other person just smiles, right? That person receiving the affection gives that slight sense of contentment, but that bright smile of joy. The love when you see two individuals clearly upset with each other, but you still see that respect between them. My research delivered this data through listening to clients express these feelings of admiration through their love expression of their significant other. And many more avenues of research was completed through watching couples interact at events, intimate friend and family settings, religious functions, diverse and varied experiences, just watching love. That's what I did. So one day I realized that in order for me to have that perfect intimate love relationship, I needed to accept the fact that I don't control what happens, right? That I can't control the matters of my heart. When it comes to this type of love for me, I learned that I can manage my responses and my emotions, but I can't control my heart. Let me give you some examples of how this is displayed sometimes. When loving someone and knowing and understanding it, you won't be able to experience this love with them, and it's not going to be reciprocated. But you still love them, right? You have this manner of love for a person. Or experiencing love with someone and not being able to continue it, right? You have that relationship. It just, you guys just can't get on the right page. But the love does not go away. It's still there. Or developing love for someone and knowing that they had developed this, they didn't have the same love for you, right? I know we've all had that we call it the crush, right? But it may be real love there, but it's just not coming back your way. They don't feel the same way about you. Now, the lessons that came when you know that you cannot or will not be able to have love experiences with someone, but you accept it and you give it a place in yourself to love that person anyway. Never expecting anything in return, right? But understanding that that love feeling that you have for someone is true and it's real. And it's okay to have it. You just can't interact with the other person necessarily, or you can't express it to them. But if it makes you feel good inside, having a love for that person, it's okay. And that's a really hard lesson to learn. Now, let me clarify that all of these situations didn't happen to me. Some of them did. And I've developed stories through listening to other people, right? But I've also developed an understanding of love through my own relationships. And I did learn and enjoy and learn to enjoy desiring again that pie in the sky, that intimate love experience. That dream love that little girl in me once knew, it's become familiar again for me. I've given myself permission to say that I'm going to find that one day, right? This is where my love lesson took a new avenue in a love journey, because I allowed myself to say that I can just dream. I'm a spiritual person, so I pray 5 times a day, and I have a love relationship with the Creator, with Allah. And that love relationship I depend on to back up some of these lessons that I learned, right? So I when I pray, I talk to the Creator about these love lessons and these love journeys. And I wait for signs or experiences that kind of let me know that I'm on the right path, right? This ongoing love journey is reflective for me in oh, my gosh, I can't tell you how many aspects of my life. But these three, the service, family and friends, and the intimate love are all three that I hold dear to me. I do. And these three aspects of my love journey are now growth and support that I use to explore my love relationships. All of my current love relationships encourage personal growth, and they provide emotional support now in my life. It wasn't always that way. I had to allow the pain to happen. I had to allow myself to reflect back on pain moments and understand what the exact opposite of pain was. And that's where I found love. Here's where my work continues. Asking these questions, I stepped into the next phase of my own love journey. And family, come with me on it, right? Try it. I think that a lot of times people don't find happiness in their own lives because they're afraid of that word love because they don't think it's possible. And we have to stop thinking about other people credentialing or justifying our reasons for allowing ourselves to feel love. It doesn't have to always be reciprocated. Now, don't get me wrong. In that one-on-one intimate love, I need that reciprocated, right? In my family and friend relationship, as I said, that needs to be reciprocated. In my love of service, I don't need that anymore. And I'm okay with saying that. But these are some questions that I'm going to answer on the rest of my love journey and that you'll find in the book once I finish it. What do you believe are the key ingredients for a successful romantic relationship? In my intimate love journey, I have a whole bunch that I've narrowed down, right? It's not this long laundry list anymore. It's not. There's substantive issues that have deeper layers. And that's the journey that I've ended. And understanding that there's not a long laundry list of ingredients needed, but that there's layers of specific things that I need to find in that romantic relationship. And the other part of my love journey that I learned was, how do I navigate the challenges and conflicts in romantic relationships? Like I said, communication and trust are key for me, and I've learned to not take flight when the challenges come, but to navigate through that communication piece. And can I describe a moment when I felt deeply connected to my partner on an emotional level? I'm going to leave that out there for you all to think about for yourselves. I'm on this journey right now, and that journey, I can't answer right now. I can't. Maybe my book will have the answers in it. Family, I downloaded tonight. I hope I helped you guys a little. I hope it gave you some food for thought and some experiences that I reflected on to take the next step in your love journey. If your love journey is stagnant, if you feel that you're not getting uncomfortable but just as comfortable in your experiences, then you're not fully experiencing a love journey. Right? It's emotional. Love journeys have to be emotional. They have to be felt. They have to have pain, but they must have happiness in them. And when I say pain, I don't mean that the experiences that other people in your love journey give you. No, not that pain. I mean the pain and you being uncomfortable and accepting things about yourself that may not be comfortable. It may bring you a little pain in saying, oh, yeah, I do these things, I think this way, and I need to really learn, or I need to talk to someone, or I need to ask for a true example of how I'm doing or communicating on yourself to have a better love journey. So I'm going to go into the shout-out corner tonight, family. I thought I would have a chance to have you guys call in, but I think I'm kind of getting close to my time. But I think next month what I'm going to do is I'm going to revisit this topic with a guest, and then we're going to make sure that the guest can answer the questions. I thought I was going to have Nicole from Healing Through Experiences come on with me and talk about it, but I think this was kind of heavy tonight. Nicole, we'll talk. We're going to talk. And I'm going to give a little shameless plug at the end about something that Nicole and I are doing together that goes deeper with our clients into this love journey. But my shout-out always is first and foremost to Mama Seven for a wonderful approach, for giving me this platform to share. Thank you so much, Khadija. I always say thank you. You know that. My thank yous will always be everlasting. Ismael Dorothman. For his podcast, Entrepreneurship, he had me on there, I think it was about 2 months ago now, and he did an awesome job of making me deep into and talking about my business journey. And I want to thank him, and I'm hoping to have him on, if not next month, the next couple months after, so he can talk about his business. He's in cybersecurity, but he's also a business coach. And he did an awesome job of interviewing. If you're on LinkedIn, check him out. If you're on Spotify, check out the Entrepreneurship Podcast. It's awesome, 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 awesome. So where can you guys find me? In Parent You Retreat, I talked about Nicole Davis and I, Healing Through Experiences. She and I, she is my partner in this, in one segment of In Parent You, May 1st, virtually on Zoom. We're going to do the second half of that retreat. where she gives out such awesome nutrition coaching. I'll just say this, nutrition is a whole lot more than the food that you eat. But she's going to be talking about Love Journey as well. So surprise, surprise, you got to join us. You can find all this information out on Dijah, D-I-J-A-H, CEO Suite, S-U-I-T-E dot Podia, P-O-D-I-A .com. Register, it's free, guys. It's all free. This program that we'll be launching, it's launched already, but the active programs with the workshops, the virtual workshops, the quarterly brunches here in Maryland, the workbooks and the journals. I've written a workbook and a journal that I'm giving to the parents in this program. All of that begins in the May. Then there's Parent You Camp, where we will be hiking, swimming, and doing yoga here in Maryland. My swim trainers will be doing basic level one swim lessons for parents, right? And this is going to be taking place on weekends for parents. So there's going to be no excuse for parents that want to empower themselves. Parent You family, this is my baby, my love joy. This is a part of my love of service that I'm doing. May 9th, the checklist workshop, my team and I, if you're thinking about business and you're not sure exactly what your skills are, what you can do, or if your business is kind of stagnant, you need to kind of game up a little bit, we're doing a skills list checklist. Tika Scarborough and I, my other partner in business, will be doing, this is my team, DJ CEO Suite. Cora and Siri, we're going to be doing planning and operations and marketing tips. So that's also free on Zoom again. And then Tico and I are doing the skills assessment and business mixing. That's virtually. But we're going to be extending that to be in person in Jersey, and that's May 13th. So I had to do my shameless plug, family. You can find all of this on my Facebook pages, my Instagram pages, Khadija Stewart, K Stewart Consulting always, or, you know, Dijah's Diverse Training Services has all of the nonprofit efforts there. Family, I spoke a lot. I didn't even get a chance to sip on my hibiscus tea, Eddie. I need to take a sip. My mouth is dry and parched. But it's been really refreshing for me to unload all of this for you all. Always reach out if you have questions. If there's anything that I can help you with, or you want to just bounce back and forth in your business journey, right, in your parent journey, if you have your aunt or uncle out there, you have, you know, family members that you know are the children coming to the end of the school year, and a lot of children have struggled throughout the year, and they may not be graduating, or they may not be going to the next level, reach out to me, guys, on Facebook. Always DM me, or you can always email me, right, khadijakason@gmail.com. Or at djceosuite.padilla.com. I'm here to share my love of service always. My nonprofit efforts are fully packed with almost the same things that my for-profit efforts are. So I make sure that my love is spread evenly and impactfully. I try to anyway. Family, thank you so much for listening. I want to end early tonight because it was a heavy, heavy, heavy show for me. I hope it gave you something to chew on and to think about. I hope your love journey is going to now have a little bit more meat in it, because I had one and I'm continuing. So part two of the love journey, family. Once again, thank you all. Always, you know, as they happen, family. And try in your business and your scholastic life of things, brainstorm, organize, plan, and then execute. Have an awesome spring, and until next month, family, peace. Take care.